in this past time, but he was preaching to his brothers' wives and others, right? Because they were lamenting, Hiranyaksha's wife, because they were lamenting after the departure of Hiranyaksha, who has been killed by Varahadeva. So after that, Hiranyaksha, demons, his wife was lamenting, and then Hiranyakashipu narrates the story of a king who was killed in the battlefield, and all his wives were lamenting, and how Yamaraj himself appeared as a young boy and started speaking philosophy of Krishna consciousness, the philosophy of difference between the body, the mind and the soul. And there is no point lamenting, the real person has not actually died, only the body. In this way, this young boy, very cute, very attractive, convinces the lamenting family, and Hiranyakashipu narrates this pastime to pacify the widows of Hiranyaksha. So we can see that, look, even in this situation, Hiranyakashipu is utilizing this opportunity to preach. Everyone is lamenting, they are ready to listen, so he is using that opportunity to give some Krishna consciousness. So that is the mentality of devotees. So devotees tries to help everyone, and especially if the circumstances are favorable. For example, now is the Srila Prabhupada book distribution marathon, as you know. So here our aim is to meet people now and distribute books. Now the mood is not really too sober. Generally, if you go to the city, there are many travelers, at least travelers are coming, and people are a little bit more in a relaxed mood. And if you consider travelers, they are in a more relaxed mood. They are in a, you know, sightseeing, enjoyment mood. But some of them, they have some tendency to spend some money, especially when it gets closer to Christmas. They have a tendency to spend money, they have a tendency to be a bit more jolly and happy, the holidays are coming. So that is the time we can approach them and distribute books. So that's the history of book distribution marathon, and it was primarily called Christmas marathon over the years. The reason being, devotees noticed that during this period, people have the money and they want to spend the money. Generally, after Christmas, everyone is broke. If the next day after Christmas, okay, Boxing Day is a different story. But after that, if you go out on the street, everyone is telling, I am broke. Now it's still people are telling they are broke. But till Christmas, they have to buy some Christmas gifts. So that is a part of the culture. Everyone has to buy something. So then, that spending mentality can be utilized. That's why back then devotees noticed that everyone is a bit jolly, everyone is happy, they were in a spending mood. So devotees thought, okay, this is a great time to distribute books. And then they told Prabhupada, can we do like a marathon? And Prabhupada was very happy, and then devotees were going out and were distributing thousands of books. In a single day, thousands of books. So that was the time of book distribution marathon in the beginning. So everything evolved. If you see the history of Krishna consciousness, everything evolved. First, there was no real concept of book distribution. Devotees didn't know how to distribute books. That was the beginning. Didn't know how to distribute books. There was no concept of book distribution as such. Of course, Srila Prabhupada is the original book distributor. He indeed started book distribution in India. Right, he was personally distributing Bhakti Gaudiya magazines. So that is the beginning of book distribution. He was the author, he was the publisher, he was the distributor. Everything was Srila Prabhupada. Then in America, of course, we can see he went as a book distributor. He took the message and he took the books. So in the initial engagements that Srila Prabhupada had, Prabhupada was distributing books personally. And then it took some time, devotees realized about book distribution, because they went to a fuel station and started speaking to the person who is in the shop, the shopkeeper, and instead of some money for the fuel, he spoke and he gave Bhagavad Gita, some books. Then he took the book. And then they realized, okay, this is a good way. We can actually distribute books and we can get some money. So this is the beginning of book distribution. They didn't know. And if they were distributing even one or two books, they were very happy. It was just a matter of time they invented the means how to distribute thousands of books in one day. So that's the history of book distribution marathon. And now it has been spread around the world. So that is very interesting that it is going very well over the years. And at one point we could see that it wasn't happening so much, at least it lost the momentum, we could say. But now it has again picked up. So this year Vaisheshika Prabhu started this campaign. This campaign is called Live to Give 2023. The campaign is called Live to Give. It's a very apt title, right? This is capturing in essence the mood of Srila Prabhupada, live to give. Not the other way around, you know. we want to just give. So that is a mentality. So that is the mentality of the advanced devotees, Srila Prabhupada. And in this campaign, if you will be surprised, what is the target, worldwide target of Bhagavad Gita? That is 3.7 million Gitas in this month, in this Live to Give campaign. Isn't it very good? Isn't it very amazing? 3.7 million Bhagavad Gita as it is during this month. So that is the target, worldwide, global target we have. And that is really encouraging. So different temples are pledging, okay, we will do this much. It's like, you know, Lakshmi contribution. Similarly, we are contributing Shastra, we are contributing the distribution of Bhagavad Gita, because it can transform the life. So different temples, some temples 1,000, some temples, you know, 100,000, 1 lakh, 10 lakh, like that. So for us, our target is about 8,500. So that is a very good target, and we had to do something about it. So that's why we have different ways. People do Shastradan, people can give support, give Lakshmi, people can just buy books. The best is get some books and distribute. Whoever we know, just distribute books. And if you don't know how to get the Lakshmi from the people, give it as a donation. Give the books as a donation, just for free. But somehow or other, we need to distribute books. So this is the mood. So this is the mood of the devotee. And this is the greatest example that we are setting in front of everyone. If you see, one of the books which has been distributed worldwide mostly is Bible. Bible has been distributed for ages. But now if you see Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavad Gita is also been distributed profusely. And it is very good, because it can transform the lives of people, and it can transform our own lives. If you go on distribution, even if you do a few hours, if you do a few full days, we can see ourselves how it is helping us, how our own mood is changing, our own Krishna consciousness is changing. If you are distributing books, then our mood is completely different. You do Sankirtan for a day, and evening your mood is different. You feel like giving, you feel like preaching, you feel enthused. This is actually the power of Sankirtan. Prahladananda Maharaj was making a point one time that in his younger days, they were distributing books, and those marathons were not just 8 hours, even 12 hours, 14 hours. These are the marathons. 16 hours, that is a marathon. From morning till night, they were distributing books. And towards the end of the marathon, the body will be completely tired, right? There is no energy, don't know even what to speak. But doesn't matter, they will distribute books, and even though so tired, they are hardly speaking anything, still devotees are taking books. So that is an amazing thing. So if you are enthused, and if you go out, and if you try to be an instrument in the hands of Srila Prabhupada and Krishna, then the magic will start somehow or other. We don't know how. That is the mercy of Krishna. It will start happening. It is like during marathon, if there are a box of books or a bag of books, then the books will start jumping out from the bag. How? We don't know. It will happen. Sometimes if he's completely dejected and if he is standing, someone will come and ask, you know, is that a Bhagavad Gita? Or someone will ask, you know, can I get a book? So things will happen in distributing Bhagavad Gita. So this is very important for us to remember during this time. I remember one time I was in Traralgon, and books were not going, and I was just standing there. Then immediately I saw a lady, spoken to her, and then she started telling, she was looking for a Bhagavad Gita the previous night, and on internet she found so many Gitas, and she didn't know what to buy, so she didn't purchase. And I said, okay, this is the Bhagavad Gita for you, this is the Bhagavad Gita as it is. So we can see that we can act as an instrument in the hands of Guru Parampara. So here, if you see what Narasimhadev is telling to Prahlad Maharaj is actually very instructive, because he's actually one way of preaching. That's why he's telling you, even though your father has already been purified, Hiranyakashipu has already been purified. How Hiranyakashipu has been purified? By the touch of the Lord. So Srila Prabhupada gives in lectures, he says, the demons are so fortunate because they are able to wrestle with Krishna. they are getting the touch of Krishna's transcendental body. Even though they are getting killed, ultimately they are going back to Godhead. So this is the mercy of the Lord. Just by the touch of Krishna, demons are going back home to Godhead. There can be some minor details as it is given here. They may take birth some other planet for some time, but after that, in turn, they are going back home to Godhead. We can also know that next birth, what happened to Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha? They became? No. Ravana and Kumbhakarna. So these are pastime, because they had to go through how many births? 3 births. So Ravana and Kumbhakarna, then Shishupal and Dantavakra, and then they go back home to Godhead. But a partial form has already appeared in the Kali Yuga as Jaga and Madai. So we can see these are pastimes of the Lord. These are pastimes of the Lord. We can see. So even though such details do exist, ultimately we can understand that they are recipients of mercy of the Lord, and they go back home to Godhead. And here Madhvacharya also gives the example of Madhu and Kaitaba. They were the demons in the beginning of the creation, Madhu and Kaitaba. So Madhu and Kaitaba, they fought with the Lord, and Vishnu killed Madhu and Kaitaba. And even their relatives also performed ritualistic ceremonies. So, and they also tried to go back home to Godhead. So this is very auspicious. So here, Prahlad Maharaj is again, he will perform all the Shraddha ceremony, whatever is required to set the example. Even though his father is now purified, and there is no problem with his father. He is now not a demon. He is a devotee. He is Sri Hiranyakashipu. That's why in the beginning of the Leela in itself, Hiranyakashipu is addressed as Sri Hiranyakashipu, giving respect to Hiranyakashipu, because ultimately he is a devotee, and he is going to get the association of the Lord, and he is going to, in one sense, embrace the Lord, you know, on the lap. Usually child is placed on the lap of the mother. Here the Lord Narasimhadev placed Hiranyakashipu on his lap for what? To do the surgery. The heart was opened, and it is mentioned the Lord opened, and he was thinking, you know, how can his heart be so cruel? I am supposed to live in his heart as the Paramatma, and am I still there? Narasimhadev was thinking, and so he ripped apart the heart and looked what's going on in this heart. How can he be so envious of the devotees, so that he was ready to kill his own son, 5-year-old boy? How can he do that? How can he be so cruel? How can he act with such godlessness? So he wanted to really see the heart. He did that. So as it is mentioned, the operation was very successful, but patient died. That is Hiranyakashipu. It's a very successful operation. He went back home to Godhead. Saul went back home to Godhead. It's just a matter of time. So this is the nature of the Lord. So we know, even putting on the lap, who else was put on the lap in Bhagavatam 10th canto? Someone else also was put on the lap. Do you remember? But yes, here demon is on the lap. Here, right? Demon is on the lap of Narasimhadev. But in the 10th canto, the Lord himself is on the lap of someone. Eh? Yashoda, but that is a very loving dealing. But it's very contrasting dealing. What is that? Exactly, Putana, right? So Krishna was on the lap of Putana. So they are also very interesting. Anantam aropitam angamantakam. Yadhorukam suptam abuddhi rajyudhi. It's mentioned in the 10th canto, the 6th chapter. It is very interesting how it is mentioned that Balagrahastatra vichinvati shishun. Balagraha, who? The Putana is addressed as Balagraha. Balagraha means one who is, it's like a graha. In Vedic astrology, we understand everyone's life is controlled by graha or the planet. There are different planets which can influence. So Putana is addressed as Balagraha. Balagraha means she was capturing all the bala. She was capturing all the kids and she wanted to kill. So that was her nature. And then what happened? She came. When she came, Krishna closed his eyes. Krishna closed his eyes. And then she anantam aropitam angamantakam. She placed Krishna on her lap. And it is mentioned, antakam. Who he placed? Antakam. What is the meaning of antaka? The killer. Assassinator. So her desire was completely opposite. She wanted to kill. Who is going to kill her? It's already decided who is going to kill her. He is the antaka. Who? Krishna is the antaka. Generally for devotees, you won't find such kind of words glorifying Krishna. Here for demons, yes, he is the antaka. So antaka. So the dichotomy here is she wanted to kill her own killer, her own assassinator. He is going to kill her, but she wanted to kill Krishna, which is not possible because anantam. He is ananta. He is unlimitedly powerful. He is ananta. And so somebody who is infinite, how can a demon kill? Not possible. So anantam aropitam ankam antakam. Ankam means on the lap. So she placed Krishna on her lap. And the analogy is given, what is a simile is given, yadhorugam suptam abuddhi rajyudhihi. Uragam. Uragam means like a snake. And suptam uragam, meaning sleeping snake. Who is the sleeping snake? Who is the sleeping snake in this simile? No. In this Putana pastime, who is the sleeping snake? It's a bit counterintuitive, but who is sleeping snake? Eh? Who? There are only two personalities here so far we have described. So one of them must be the sleeping snake. Krishna. Krishna is addressed as a sleeping snake, just like the sleeping snake. Yadhorugam suptam abuddhi rajyudhi. Who is this? Rajyudhi. Rajyudhi means, Rajyu means rope. Rajyudhi means one who thinks that a sleeping snake is a rope. So very foolish person who considers a sleeping snake to be a rope. So that person can take that sleeping snake and put on the lap thinking it is just a rope. So this was the mentality of Putana. Putana thought Krishna is just an ordinary child. Because he concealed his potencies. He concealed his potencies. So what happened? He thought it's like, so Krishna is compared to a sleeping snake and Putana a foolish woman just thinking a rope, a snake to be a rope and put on her lap. So here we can see when it comes to dealing between Krishna and the demon or the demoness, the analogies are not so good. If you are to sleep, we don't compare Krishna to sleeping snake. But yes, for a demon, Krishna is a sleeping snake. As it is said, for the time, for a devotee, death is Krishna. For a devotee, death is Krishna. And for a demon, death is, it's a kala sarpa. It's like the sarpa which is going to bite and kill. And it is ferocious and it can inflict a lot of fear. So that is the case of here Putana. Putana later, she becomes completely bewildered and was in intense pain. So here we can see that kind of thing. So here we can see that, and for her also, she also got the position of a nurse, as we know. So here, always touch of the Lord is very, very auspicious. And that's why it is mentioned by Madanga Sparshanena. Madanga Sparshanena Anka. So Madanga Sparshanena. Sparshana, just by my touch, this demon has purified. So then even the Lord's personal touch is there, and also there is the personal touch of Krishna's holy name. Here it is, Madanga Sparshanena. There is a Sachinananda form of the Lord touched Hiranyakashipu, but there is a touch of the holy name also. That is also Sachidananda. There is no difference between the Lord and the holy name. Abhinnatvam, nama namino. So on a daily basis, what we had to do? We need the touch by the holy name. Our tongue has to be touched by the holy name. We had to chant Krishna's names, known different from Krishna. That holy name has to touch the ears, and that holy name has to go into our consciousness. It has to touch our heart. This is chanting. The chanting is not simply vibrating the sound and we don't hear. No, it's a connection. The tongue is touching the holy name, and the ears are touching the holy name, and the heart is touching the holy name. And then we can experience Krishna. We can experience the presence of Krishna to the degree or the purity that we have. To the sincerity we are chanting, we can experience the presence of the holy name. So this is very important for a sadhaka. Having chanting, getting this touch of Krishna. That's why it's mentioned, place the holy name on the tongue. Many times the instruction is given, place the holy name on the tongue. Just touching, that is touching the holy name of the tongue. And we can find how it is powerful. Jihwa. Jihwa is the tongue. Otherwise, what is the use of the tongue? Jihwa sati dardri gevasuta na chopagaya turugaya gatha. Second kind of Bhagavatam says, jihwa asati. If the holy name is not touching the tongue, then that tongue is considered useless. Dardrika vasuta, dardrika, it means it is the tongue of a toad, of a frog, a frog's tongue. What's the use of the frog's tongue? Frog is croaking and it is attracting what? Only snake. It's only attracting snake, nothing else. Meaning the painful death is simply approaching for a non-devotee. For a devotee, no, it's a death. Death is Krishna. Death is Krishna. So devotees don't see otherwise. So that's the difference. So here the instruction is that touch of the Lord. That's we are seeking. Touch of the Lord. Being a sadhaka, touch of the Lord by chanting Krishna's names. And if we get Brahmin initiation, if we go to the altar, we can touch the Lord's lotus feet. So we can do, we can definitely touch the Lord's body. So it is not something which is unreachable or, you know, just theoretical. No, we can touch the Lord. If Brahmin initiation, one can touch, one of the items of bhakti is touching the Lord's feet. One can touch the Lord's feet. And it is very purifying. So even the Lord himself instructs Uddhava in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam about this. That one can go to the Lord, one can actually, you know, bahubhyam cha parasparam, hold with bahubhyam, with both the hands, hold together. Prapannam pahimamisha bhitam mrityugraharnavat. And one can pray to the Lord, one can hold the Lord, and one can put the forehead at the feet of the Lord, and one can pray. What is that? Prapannam bhitam mrityugraharnavat. I am actually fearful about this cycle of birth and death. So kindly protect me. So that is the prayer of the devotees. And it is good to have that fear about the material existence, healthy fear, and then we can approach the Lord. So this is one of the item of deity worship as well. So in conclusion, in this verse we heard the instruction of Narasimhadev to Prahlad Maharaj to do the proper Shraddha ceremony for his departed father, even though he's got purified. Similarly, we may do that if it is culturally required, but at the same time we shouldn't think that it is necessary for purification. It's not necessary. None of these family rituals are not necessary for a devotee or even a devotee child. Not required. For example, the Upanayana Samskara, not really required. One doesn't have to make a big deal of it. It's not really required. But if there is a need from the family and the culture, do it. That's it. Similarly, Antyeshti and other ceremonies, if you want to do, we can do in a devotee way. In the Vaishnava association, using the Vaishnava priest who follows Srila Prabhupada, that is the ideal. We don't need to really go here and there and do all these kind of rituals. Not required. In India, if we had to do something, there is a family is there, extended family is there, we can do. Otherwise, we don't need to do. We can do the simple thing and leave it. Australia, there is no need to do much. Do the simple thing and that's enough, because devotees understand chanting the holy name and the association of the devotees is the most powerful. And that's it. And if you think anything else is required for the departed soul, we are deviating from pure devotion service. So the explanation is from Jnana Karmadi Anavratam. The Karmadi Karma, that is, includes this. Acharya specifically explains about the Shraddha ceremony. So devotees have to be quite mindful and careful about this, because many of our relatives, you know, our own near and dear, they leave this world, and that is the nature of this world. And about the Angasparsha, that is the touch of the body. The touch of the body is purifying, and we have the opportunity to be touched by the Lord in the altar or by the holy name. And here the mood is to set the good example for everyone, and the same mood we can preach Krishna consciousness now, and especially distributing books of Srila Prabhupada. And I stop here. Is there any questions or comments? Hare Krishna. Yes, Sivya.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you for the nice class. Prabhu, you mentioned we should follow the rituals not just because of devotional service but because of society. But sometimes we see even society tells us to do so many rituals and pratas like Navratri, and then it becomes never ending. So where do we draw a line? I mean, how do we know like which one we should follow and which one should we not follow?
Yeah, so we don't follow everything that the karmis are doing, but certain things are very sensitive. Navaratri, if you follow or not, they don't care so much. You can tell we are following Navaratri by chanting Hare Krishna every day 16 rounds. That's enough. They can understand. We go to the temple, we chant. That's the way we do Navaratri or any festival. Do we stop chanting 16 rounds? No. So we have our own way of doing things. That is fine. But there are sensitive things like once on immediate relative passes away from this world. It's very sensitive. That time everyone look upon our activities, how we behave, what we are doing, are we doing the rituals. So in sensitive times, we had to be careful. That is the point. So if we had to do some ceremonies, we may do it. But if not, not required. So there's a fine line.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions? Yes, Prabhu.
Prabhu, this Shraddha ceremony, what is mainly involved is Vishnu worship and offering Vishnu Prasad to the forefathers. So in that context, can we view that as a bhakti yoga, or even then we have to be?
Yeah, the issue is, in many times, it may not be just that. Because we know, I have done Shraddha ceremonies, it is all over. In essence, we know, after coming in touch with Srila Prabhupada's books, we know that Shraddha ceremony is offering Vishnu Prasadam to the forefathers. But that's not the case many times. Right? We know how the ritualistic ceremonies go. It is, probably there is not even Vishnu. Many, many times. There is no proper offering to Vishnu also. It is a mix of everything. So that's where the problem arises. Whereas for us, if you are offering, we take some Mahaprasadam offer to a photo of our forefather, that is bhakti. There is nothing wrong in it, and it is very good. And we can get devotees and we can do kirtan for the departed forefather, well and good. But that's not how usually Shraddha ceremonies function. That's why. Yeah. Thank you. Okay. Thank you. Granthashyam Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.